I salute thy voice in praise. It's you that I see. It's you that I see. Sing it out.
Beloved, you are about to listen to a message from Reverend Prince Lai. Reverend Prince Lai is the head pastor of Rescue World Chapel International and the lead evangelist of Christ the Healer Gospel Campaign. He has a dynamic teaching and healing ministry with miracles, signs and wonders that has affected and transformed many lives. And now, the voice of rescue.
The necessity of prayer, the necessity of
and we said
number one is fellowship with the Father.
We are
able to have fellowship with God in prayer. Number two, maintenance of zeal and spiritual fervency. That you cannot be on fire for God minus a consistent prayer life. Number three, we said for the generation of the Holy Spirit presence around us. In Luke 3:21, as Jesus was, the heavens opened and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And then also, prayer is necessary for spiritual warfare, binding, defeat that devil. You cannot wrestle that devil physically. You must wrestle him in prayer. Then also number five, we said it is necessary for asking and receiving. Yes. That on the altar of prayer, we are able to lay our request before God.
Yes, they want Bible monsoon yet me beside yes, that's what to me can yet me my dear.
Number six, we said it is for procuring mercy and forgiveness.
Yes, and to me and who more brought anybody.
That God is able to have mercy on us when we pray to him. Cain did a wrong thing, Cain messed up. But because he knew how to pray, he prayed to the Lord and God had mercy on him. Jonah messed up, but in prayer, the Lord had mercy upon him. We also said number seven, for overcoming temptations. For overcoming temptations. Jesus said, pray so that you will not enter into temptation. And so when you are prayerful, you are likely to escape a lot of temptations. And even the temptations that you must of a necessity enter, prayer is still what will bring you out of that temptation alive. Because prayer is a painkiller. While you go through the necessary temptations, it strengthens you to be able to overcome. We saw how Jesus overcame through prayer, how Jonah overcame through prayer, how Samson overcame through prayer. We also said number eight, for empowerment for destiny assignment. I think that is the. So number eight, for the empowerment for destiny assignment.
Oh,
I think we did that last week. That is where we looked at Jacob, how he wrestled with God and had power for his destiny to be changed. Also had power after the 40 days fasting and prayer. So today, number nine, city of prayer. Why do Luke 18:1 that men ought always to pray and stop? Why is Jesus saying that we should pray without ceasing? That means that we should engage prayer more than we engage in food, more than we engage in always eat. We don't always do things. Jesus says we should engage in prayer. Hallelujah. Number 9. For accessing divine vision and direction for life. For accessing divine vision and direction for life. We discover God's plans for our lives on the altar of prayer. Habakkuk chapter number 1.
We
discover God's plans for our lives on the altar of prayer. Habakkuk 2 verse 1. Church, let's all read it together. Is that I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower. That is prayer, okay? And will watch to see what he will say to me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, amen.
Amen.
And then verse 2, he says, then the Lord answered me, now write the vision and make it plain on tablets. He may run who reads it. So Habakkuk says that for me to know the vision of God for my life, I must stand upon the watch. I must watch and pray. For you to discover God's plans for your life, you must be under a prayer. You must be engaged in prayer. It is the way by which God can communicate to you his plans and purposes. In Jeremiah 33 verse 3, it says, call unto me, I will answer you and show thee great and mighty things which you have no idea. God has a plan for you. God has a vision for you. God has a purpose for your life. But it will not be possible if you don't even know about it. But for you to know the plans of God, so that you can pursue it, you must lay on the altar of prayer. God doesn't speak to people who are uninterested in talking to him. The Bible says that deep. When you draw nigh to the Lord, he says he will draw nigh to you, made you with a purpose, and he has created you with a plan. You will labor in vain if you are doing the wrong thing. You will labor without resolve if you are displaced. But for you to the purpose of God for your life, you need in communication with God. He said, call unto me. I will answer you, deal to you great and mighty things you don't know. Nobody asks the Lord, receives from the Lord. Anybody that calls upon the Lord is assured of response from God. This month of travail, may God reveal to you his secret plans for your life. May God reveal to you his secret agenda for your destiny. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 45 verse 11, take note of this scripture very well and pray with it throughout the week. Is that thou sayest the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his maker, because the Lord is the one who made you, he's the one to tell you what to do with your life per time. He's the one to tell you where to go and where not to go. He's the one to show you what he made you for and for what purpose he created you. Look at, he said, ask me of things to come concerning my sons. You can as well add daughters. Ask me concerning things to come concerning my children and concerning the work of my hands. Command ye me. God says that concerning his children, you can ask him about things that are to come. So are you not a child of God? Ask the one by you, are you a child of God? If you are a child of God, then according to this scripture, you can ask God concerning your own life. That, Father, what should I do with my life? What should I do pertaining to this situation? What should I do that will unravel the mystery of my destiny? What should I do that I may see your glory? What have you made me for? He said, concerning my sons, ask me things that are yet to come. So I can stand here today and ask God concerning next 20 years, what do you want me to do? What would you have me do? So while I was in the university, the Lord asked me to engage in a fast. And so I met the Lord in a fast on the mountains. And the Lord took him 10. So I wrote down the 10 questions in Accra the day the Lord asked me to go to the mountains for fasting. And all the 10 questions had to do with things about my life. I was in the third year by then. In the year 2012. So I went to the mountains to pray. And I asked God those questions. The Lord, what do you want to do with my life? Where will I be? What will I accomplish? Who do you want me to follow for the gifts you are talking about? I asked God different questions. 10 of them. And the thing that I asked him in prayer is what I'm living now. It was in that prayer that the Lord told me that I was not supposed to end up in the church I was in. It was in that prayer that the Lord told me that I have ordained you as a founder of a ministry. That I'm giving you an apostolic oil to start church and to start. It's not for everybody. And I was okay where I was. I was okay. I was not competing with anybody. I was a young guy as well. So the future belonged to me. But God says no. Ask me concerning next 10 years. And so when I went to seek the face of God, the Lord told me many things. It was in that fasting the Lord told me that in years to come, you are going to become a son of Archbishop Ajinasari. I never knew. I've never been a fan of him, like listening to him, because I was not raised from his angle. To him. And so I didn't know anything about him. It was on that mountain the Lord told me that years to come, you are going to serve under Archbishop Ajinasari. It was in that fast that the Lord told me that you are not going to leave Accra. It is in Accra you are going to start the ministry. God told me many things about my life. God told me what he was going to do with my life. Either to that, I have never engage in any miracle. I can't remember any miracle. I was a prayer warrior, but I cannot remember any miracle, like any tangible miracle the Lord used me. But it was in that prayer that the Lord told me that I'm going to use you for miracles and crusades. And everything that the Lord spoke to me about, it's been many, many years after. And they are all happening one by one. So I pray for you that as you engage in this 40 days fasting and prayer, may your destiny be clear for you. May the vision of God come to you. May you know what God has created you for. May you know where you are supposed to be per time. May you know the agenda of God concerning your life. Because you are also a child of God. And he said concerning his children, ask him things to come. So ask him that, Lord, where will I be next 10 years? God, what do you want to do with my life? Clap your two hands together for them. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that is what happened to Saul and Barnabas. They discovered their purpose on the altar of prayer. In Acts 13 verse 2, the Bible says, as the teachers and the prophets were praying in the church in Antioch, as they were praying, then the Spirit of the Lord said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And hands were laid upon them, and they were released, and they were directed. Now that is how Paul discovered his ministry to the Gentiles. That is how the church came to know where Paul and Barnabas were supposed to go to. They would have continued in Antioch, also preaching there. Or perhaps they would have gone to Jerusalem, because that's where Paul is coming from. But because they engaged on the altar of prayer, God showed them where they should go to. And that is what birthed the ministry of Paul and then Barnabas. I pray that on this altar of travail, your own destiny shall be birthed. Your own destiny shall be birthed. Your business shall be birthed. Your career shall be birthed. Your marriage shall be birthed. The plans of God for you shall be birthed. The ideas of God for your life shall be birthed. I declare you shall no longer be confused. Direction shall come. Vision shall come. Vision shall come. Vision shall come. Lift up your right hand and say, I receive the visions of God. I receive the directions of God. Clap your two hands together for Jesus.
Even during decision making, prayer is what will help you to discover God's standpoint in the situation. God, should I leave this brother with this lady? God, should I leave this country? Should I position myself in the U.S.? Should I invest in this or should I... God, should I take off this one or should I put it aside? Every one of our basis, we are faced with questions, decisions to make, and the product of your life or the result of your life is as a result of the things, the decisions you are making today. Where you are deciding to stay, who you are deciding to live with, where you are deciding to work, deciding to read, the places you are deciding, the things you are deciding to do now is what will determine whether tomorrow you will be A, B, or C. Whether you will suffer A, B, or C is as a result of the decisions you are making today. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Tell the one by you, you are a product of your decisions yesterday. You are a product of your decisions today. As I was, your future will be a product every day. You decide to invest in something, you will reap in that area. You decide to get involved with bad behavior, drinking, smoking. Tomorrow, I can tell you what will happen to your future. You decide to go to school today. Tomorrow, I can tell you what you are going to become. You decide to work hard today. I can tell you what you are going to become tomorrow. You determine that I'm going to read economics, I'm going to read science, I'm going to do it. Can determine what you become tomorrow. So every man is a product of the decisions he made. I am a pastor today because of the decision I made. And so it means that if God's plans for our life will become perfect like he has planned for us, then we must think what he's thinking and know what he knows about us, so that our decisions can be right.
Because some of you in certain marriages, because you missed the decision of who to marry. And for the rest of your life, prayer as a painkiller, you'll be in it till you die. Or is that you pray and divorce you? Prayer only answers to the will of God. The will of God is not divorce. I cannot pray that your marriage collapses. I can only pray for you to endure more slaps, more abuse. To endure, I can only pray for you. When you were making the decision, you were not led by the Spirit. The other day when David was making a decision whether to go to war and how to go to war, David didn't just get up because he has killed Goliath, because he's a warrior. He just didn't get up and say he's going to fight. He went before the Lord and inquired in prayer. And quiet in prayer. And quiet in prayer. He cried to the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 8. And David inquired at the Lord. Shall I pursue this troop? Will I overtake them? And the Lord answered, pursue them, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail you will recover all. For David to engage that battle, he needed God's permission. You will lose if you take decisions without God. This is the reason why you see good people who are struggling in certain areas of their lives. Because most of the times they miss a certain step of a decision. They miss a certain step. I am enjoying my marriage today because I knew who to marry. And I married who God said I should marry. I didn't marry for love. You are shocked. I didn't marry for feelings. I didn't marry beauty. I didn't marry hips and all those things. I didn't marry money. I married the one the Lord showed me to marry. And so forever I am enjoying my marriage in peace. Clap your two hands together for them. Now you are marrying for dimples. And you are marrying for all sorts of statistics and vitals. Tomorrow, when you're on fire for the Lord, the devil will use that brother to trouble your destiny for the rest of your life. The devil will use that sister to kill your destiny for the rest of your life. And you wonder how a good person like this is suffering. It's because 10 years ago, he missed a certain major junction. He missed it. There are people who are good people but are suffering in poverty. They are laboring in all kinds of careers and they are not working. The reason is because 10 years ago, when they were supposed to ask the Lord whether I should read sociology or I should read engineering, they didn't ask. They read sociology because everybody's reading sociology and they did not read it. And they are suffering today because their destiny is not sociology. Their destiny was supposed to be engineering. You don't understand what I'm saying. As a young guy, before I completed school, before I even completed secondary school, I knew the course I was going to do in the university. I knew it. I knew it and what I will use it for when I complete the university. I knew it, for it was for ministry. I knew what I should go and do in the university. And when I come out, how I will use it to push my ministry. I knew it. I knew it. And you are struggling with this fashion something because you missed a certain junction. You are not doing well in this business you are involved because you missed a certain junction. I pray for you that the direction of God will be made available to you. I said the direction of God will be made available to you. Every decision you are making and every decision you are about to make, I pray that may God direct your steps.
Amen.
Lift up your right hand and say,
I receive direction.
Shout, I receive direction. Shout, I receive direction. Clap your two hands 1 minute and pray the Father. Direct me. Show me what to do in this situation. Show me what to do in this situation. Show me what to do in this situation. Show me what to do. Father.
It was so serious. That's why David never lost the battle. Because David never go for battle without first asking God whether he should go. Decisions. 2 Samuel 5, verse 19. The Bible says, and David inquired of the Lord, asked from the Lord, shall I go up against the Philistines? But I thought you were a champion. I thought you have slain Goliath. I thought you were leader of an army. But David did not take the place of God's direction for granted. The first time he asked the Lord, in verse 19, the Lord told him, go, for I will doubtlessly deliver the Philistines into your hand. And so that day David called the army, and they went and they fought because God said he should go. Not because he is strategic in warfare. Not because he's so strong. But he went because God made the decision for him. And the Bible said he won victory. Then after some weeks, the enemy decided to attack. The same group decided to attack him again. If you were David, if the Lord told you last 2 weeks to kill the people and they have come again, won't you just go and finish them? But David went back to God again. He never takes the position of God in everything he does for granted. The fact that God said something 10 years ago does not mean he's still saying the same thing to you. It is the same God that told Abraham, go and kill your son. When he got to the place to finish the son, the same God told him that, don't kill your son. God is a progressive God. He's a progressive God. So if he told you join this company and you join the company 10 years after and you are still in the company, don't say, hey, God says you come, that's why I'm here and I'm suffering. Maybe that God has left you. He's gone. He has moved to the next place you're supposed to be. But you are still where you are because you are not asking God for the next instruction. That's why we pray without ceasing, so that we have daily instruction. Daily instruction. Because he told you to kill your son in your house does not mean when you are there he will still say kill your son. Neither he will tell you take that sheep and kill it. I get what I'm saying. How I hope you understand what I'm saying. A lot of lives have been destroyed because of these petty things. A lot of people are living in frustration because of these small decisions. But when you enter into prayer, when you engage in travail, one of the benefits you will get is that God will direct you. And look at the second time when David was going, the same enemy, verse 22, the Bible says that, and the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in Rephaim. 23, and when David inquired of the Lord, thou shalt not go up
but fetch a copper. The second time David asked God, God told him, don't go, don't go. God told him, don't go. The first time I said, go, this one, don't go. If you go, they will kill you. Because the people, they have changed their tactics. So you better don't go. But you would have gone because yesterday God said you should go. So you not ask him that, should I go again today? And they would have finished even though you won yesterday. But when David and God said, don't go. Rather, let me show you a different tactic. And God now redirected him to do something. And he won the victory. I pray that on the altar of rescue, may God provide you with daily decisions.
Amen.
May God provide you with daily decisions.
Amen.
May God make clear decisions for you.
Amen.
May God make clear his plans for your life.
Amen.
Clap your two hands and say, I shall not be confused. I can hear you shout, I shall not be confused. I will know the will of God concerning my career, concerning my marriage, concerning my children, concerning my ministry. I know the will of God. Let me ask you something. No, let me tell you something. I've been telling those who are around me that I know a mystery. The mystery is that God has finished with us in Odoko. Those who are around me, I always tell them, I'm a man of God. By the grace of God, I ask God questions. And one of the things that I've asked God and God has showed me over and over is that the church became great in men's school, not in Odoko. I will labor for the rest of my life in Odoko and the church will not be great. Because this is not the place for the church. This God just brought me. We prayed, God showed us to come and God brought us here. But it is not for us to stay here for the next 10 years. We are done here. I always tell those around me that God has moved to men's school. And God is waiting for us in men's school. Whatever God has to do. So all that I am doing is to keep the sheep so I don't lose the sheep. That's all I'm doing. I'm not expecting 1,000 people here. I'm only keeping the few hundreds God has given us so that I journey with them to men's school. But even if only 5 people go with me to men's school, you will come there years after to meet thousands of people. Because God has moved to men's school. Clap your two hands together. Father. When I heard the price of the men's groom land, I knew it is not our size. You don't need to tell me, I knew it. And I told Pastor Eko, this one there, 12, 6, no, the original price was 12.5 billion. That's 100 and, let me not confuse the new figures. That's 1.2 million Ghana cedis. 1.2 million Ghana cedis. That is old 12.5 billion. That's the original when they brought the estimation of the land and the house. Is it our size? No, I don't know how many years of offering. What check you offering on that? Who offer out time on your check? So, for 3 days, 4 days, I stopped talking to the owner who came, the one they sent to Ghana. I stopped talking. So, the person left after a week and two. I went back to the UK. And then called me back and said, the original owner is asking that where is the young pastor who said they like the land? He wants to give it to the young pastor. People were buying it in UK. With pounds to do estate, to build apartments. That's why they sent the man to come. He didn't even know me. The man, he had never seen me before. I didn't know him. He also didn't know me. Around a time like this, Aduma season. And the man came. And he went to just value the land and did everything. He was about to go. Then he said, oh, let me visit my family.
and visited grew up from, which is my wife's family.
Amen.
I told her, hey, now your little sister, she's married though. Said, oh, is that so?
Amen.
Yeah, she's married. Let me go. Then he went to look for my wife in the workplace. Just to say hello and give her some tips before going back to UK. And so when she got there, she said, hey, so Charlie, who is she? I said, oh, I'm married to a pastor. Why is he? Say, oh, he's gone to Accra. The guns are looking for him. There's some fight in our church. They have, you know, those of you who are around in those days. So when the man heard, he said, ah, so you people are now looking for a place. Yeah, well, we are looking for a place to move and go and then. Then the man said, oh, I was sent to come and to some people in UK. Your husband to come and see if he likes it, I will block the way for your husband to get it. Clap your two hands for that. I will not give it to the people out there. That is how the land and got to know the amount. I went back. So I didn't call. But when the man left and went back, the old woman, no matter the money people had there to pay her, she didn't like it. She said, look for that small boy pastor for me. Look for that pastor. Is he not interested in the land again? I was here when they called me from UK, that the old lady said, you have not called to talk about the land again. What's the problem? Then I told the man, the problem is Kudi. I don't have the money. I don't have the money. Now, that is the genesis of the miracle of that. Clap your two hands for them. Then the woman said, don't worry. I know what to do. The first thing she did was to slash the amount into two, from 12.5 to 6. That was the first miracle. Then I still said, I don't have the money. Then she went back again. Then she came. Then she said, I've worked things out. Take the land. Just pay 10%. You know 10%? 65,000. And go to the land. 65,000. What I call believe it. 65. And then 65,000 AGI. 65,000. He was with me through all the meetings. Was what we paid for us to go there. And as of this year, anytime we get the money, we should pay. Anytime. When he's dead and gone, his children are alive. He has warned them, nobody should touch us. Nobody should come there. Nobody. The children have spoken. Nobody. We are here now, we are ready. No one be chiasca. Have you heard this one before? Something they sell in dollars. But how did it happen? I was in prayer when God showed me a vision. And in the vision, I had gone to the land with Pastor Cole. And I was measuring the land. And it was three plots. And I told Pastor Eko in the vision that this is where God is bringing us. Then I came out of the vision. It was out of that vision, 2 days, the call came from UK. And the miracle happened. You will not get it anywhere unless God directs you. Unless God directs you that this is the place. I pray that wherever you are confused, may God show himself to you and direct you.
Amen.
May God direct you. Every step in the way, the miracle keeps getting better. I'm still expecting more miracles to come from there. The miracle keeps getting better. Every year. That's how come we are building. That's how come we are working well, what we are doing over there. Are you getting what I'm saying? May you be directed.
Amen.
I said, may you be directed. I said, may God show you the way. May God lead you. Where to invest. Where to build your house. Which land to buy. I bought a certain land. Without praying to God. In fact, without getting, I prayed, but I didn't get answer. And instead of waiting to get the answer, I went ahead of God because of time. And up to today, I'm always fighting over that land. The church board members and my wife will tell, every day we have a case. In fact, yesterday night, they called me from there. Always, we have to go and fight. You ever call me a child? You ever call, oh. A land God never answered my prayer. I will not say this to worry anybody, but in that particular thing, certain people around me told me what they saw. But I didn't see it. So from that day, I became careful with what others see, which I don't see. So I will not mean to disgrace anybody. So I won't mention names of people who saw visions and dreams about that place. No. But what I'm trying to say is, make sure you have a personal communication. Make sure, don't say my pastor said, make sure you have a personal. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because I can't hold those people responsible. I only hold myself responsible because forever I know God never spoke to me to invest money there. So I can never hold them responsible. Amen.
Amen.
So you can never hold anybody responsible for your future marriage. Cannot. Don't say that, brother said. That's why in this church we don't force you to marry anybody. We only advise you pair what we know. Then you make your choice. If you get closer, you see that there is fire, you run for your life. God must speak to you too. God must direct you too. There must be a confirmation in your spirit. Nobody imposes husbands and wives on anybody. Tell the one by you, nobody forced you to marry anybody. Did I force you to marry Vera? Did I force you to marry your husband? Never. I force people. Did I force you to marry Pastor Cole? Actually, what did I do to you before you married Pastor Cole? What did I do last hour? What did I do to you people? I suspended their relationship. I called their relationship off. I said, people, you are not beloveds again in this church. See that you are shocked. My own assistant general superintendent. I suspended his relationship. I told him that I will not let the two of you marry. Yes. Because there was something I was looking for that I was not seeing between them. So if somebody tells you that your pastor forces people to marry, you don't know what you are talking about. If I can suspend Pastor Cole's this wedding, I called up their counseling for months. If I can suspend their wedding and relationship, what about you? You cry that you are far. What about you? I'm saying this because this week, a certain woman who is a mother to one of you told me that she knows that I'm the one behind his son and somebody from this child. Then I said, me? Don't know what you are talking about. Then I gave him the genesis of how his son started chasing that sister. I said, go ask your son. I was sitting in my office when he came to me. So I know that impression is around. I only encourage people to find love as long as God permits them within the church so that they can be protected. Next 10 years, nobody could beat them. Especially the ladies. I advise them. But nobody forces anybody to marry. I don't know why I'm stressing on marriage, but I'm stressing on it because it affects future than anything on this earth. It affects future than anything. You ask anybody who is married. No matter how successful you are, if you marry the wrong man, he will unsuccessful you. You see. It, no matter how successful you are as a woman or as a man, if you team up with the wrong person, he or she will leak out all your success. And hear me.
Hear me.
The fact that the person is good does not mean it is God for you. Two good people can marry and it will be well. Two good people too are not meant to marry. Yes, it is possible. So the fact that the person is good is not automatic. Because it may be good, but for you it will be evil. Seek the counsel of God. Lift up your hand and say, Lord, help me. As I inquire of you. For those of you who are not yet married, you better take Kwame now to the altar. You better start asking the Lord. This girl, is she for me? You better ask God. Amen.
Amen.
My pastor, my man, it's true. Because at least you are not yet married, so you still have hope. There's still a chance to turn back. And some of you, couple, there, God has been good to you. You are seeing the signs. That this good brother is not good for me. You are seeing the signs that this good sister. I don't know why, but he's good in the eyes of everybody. But Mimi Bre, you are seeing that this good sister is not good for you. You are seeing that this good brother is not good for you. But you are still holding on. Prepare prayer. If I were you, I'll put prayer in for the future. So that I'll use it for painkiller. 30 years of painkiller. Prepare. That way I can tell you upon audacity. Because the ones that we didn't see, it even happened. Not the ones that the one that we didn't see that will be beaten. They end up, the one that was lovey-lovey, everything was so cool, such. After they marry, then started boxing. Not the one that you are dating already in Yehudu. Already they are threatening. Already they are threatening you. If you don't, I'll do you something, eh? Hey, what amount of love have you been hooked with? What amount of love is that? What a shock. So make sure that your decisions are ordered by the Lord. Make sure that your decisions are ordered by the Lord. Because you will pay the penalty or the price for it. You will lose that battle. David would have lost that battle. God said, even though you won yesterday, as for today, don't go. Don't go. Tell somebody, don't go. As for today, change your strategy. Because that is not God's plan. Maybe it was God's plan for you yesterday. And for all you know, God has moved to the next level of your life. Has also moved to the next level. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, amen.
Amen.
May God direct somebody in this house.
Amen.
And may God make somebody's decision be guided by Him.
Amen.
May new things begin to happen for you. Amen. Clap your two hands together. And rise up to your feet. And rise up to your feet. And rise up to your feet. Accessing divine vision and direction for life. On the altar of prayer. I've said few things, but they are very deep things. And there are things that if you play with next 10 years, you tell me, you see, one of my sons called me from somewhere. And told me that, Daddy, before then, he told somebody who told me that Daddy told me this thing when we were in classroom. Now I'm suffering the thing. And so when I was talking to him, he said, Daddy, you remember you told me something in the classroom. Don't joke with decisions that you are making. Because years to come, it can catch up with you. And that is why we pray. That is why we pray. Lift up your right hand. Lift up your right hand.
Beloved, thank you for listening to this message by Reverend Prince Lai. If you have been blessed by this message and have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, kindly say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died that I may live. Please forgive me and wash me with your blood. I believe I am a child of God. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you have said this prayer, know that your sins have been forgiven and you are now a new creation. We invite you to worship with us on Sundays at Odoko, adjacent Best Point Savings and Loan, Odoko Market. For more information, please call 0543-248-982 or 0241-372-895. God richly bless you.